We present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday.
April 1945, the Third Reich's 13th hour. Into the blazing rubble of Berlin parachutes a unit of Allied commandos. Their mission, to kidnap Hitler. We present the 13th hour.
London, Sunday, April the 22nd, 1945.
If you don't mind my remarking, sir, you seem a little tired this morning.
I am. Thank you for inquiring, Sergeant Christie. I had a sleepless night worrying about what might have gone wrong. And my wife isn't too happy about my skipping lunch today to return to the office.
I did notice Mrs. Courtney looked rather vexed.
Vexed? Oh, she's furious. She thinks I'm far too preoccupied with my work. It hasn't made matters easier by my falling asleep during the church sermon this morning. Nor my forgetting to see her home.
You have been extremely preoccupied. And most understandably, sir.
Thank you, Sergeant Christie. Good of you to appreciate the strain. Must say you seem to be handling the matter well.
Sir?
Oh, come, my dear. I know about your affections for both Major Longland and young Bascom. It must be extremely distressing for you not to have news of them.
Yes, sir.
I must say the silence of the export exercise is absolutely baffling. Almost 48 hours, and there's not been the slightest word yet. The planes returned from their rendezvous point yesterday, as empty as when they left, to report that there had been no radio link-up, no sign of the export people in the airlift sector, no contact of any kind. Most annoying.
Yes, sir.
Holly and I stayed most of yesterday together in my office, hoping that something might occur to explain the silence. Perhaps radio contact with the Elba forces, or a visual sighting by mosquitoes ranging the area.
And did you hear anything, sir?
No, nothing. Our wait was absolutely fruitless. That's why I decided to return to the office today. Ever hopeful, Sergeant Christie?
Yes, sir. I checked with Colonel Norman, sir, as you instructed me.
And?
He's just spoken again with Colonel Holly.
Well, did he have anything to say for himself?
Nothing, sir. Operation sent a pair of recon planes to sweep the area again, but still no sign. It looks as though we've come a cropper, sir.
Yes. I'm afraid it is beginning to rather look that way. Well, of course, it's too early to tell yet, so we shall just have to keep our fingers crossed.
Of course, sir. Colonel Norman reports that Colonel Holly still sounds optimistic about it.
He does?
Apparently, he feels it's only a matter of time. He told Colonel Norman that perhaps they'd just bagged so many big shots that they couldn't get them all on the pickup planes. He thinks they may have headed straight across country to bring them out overland.
Interesting theory. Meanwhile, a small reminder. Even theories must be kept to ourselves. As you know, you have been made privy to information that must, from this moment on, remain absolutely confidential.
Of course, sir.
Don't worry, my dear. If there is news, though, I'll speak to you immediately.
Thank you, sir. Let's hope there is when we reach your office, and that it's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Mumford here. Hollow?
Yes.
Well, man, have you heard anything?
No, not a damn thing. But listen, I've got a new idea.
Yes? What?
If something had gone wrong, the Germans would be bragging about it on Radio Berlin, wouldn't they? But there hasn't been a peep out of them so far. Maybe our boys got the old bastard, but they're having trouble getting past the Germans. Maybe the Germans are keeping it quiet in hopes they can rescue him.
What?
Well, do you think so? You think that's what might be happening?
Well, it's conceivable.
Well, if it's true, we've got to get some help into them, and fast.
In where? We don't know where our people are.
We could drop another agent or two and let them poke around, couldn't we?
Well, I doubt the committee would give us clearance. There have been rumblings already. They apparently expected tidier results.
Yeah, so did we. Who did the complaining?
It came down from Whittington. They've asked for a review of the plans and specifications.
What? Whittington?
Yes, I had Colonel Norman send a packet over this morning.
Oh, damn.
Still, I expect your thought that we send someone in for a look is a good one. Why don't we cable Stockholm and have one of your people get in touch with that Swedish journalist, the one who set up the initial meeting with General Fagelein?
What good would that do?
None, perhaps. Depends on whether Fagelein's cover was blown during the course of the raid. If the Germans have already picked him up, then I fear we've had it. But if not, I'd like very much for the Swede to fly in and ask him some questions. At least we might get an inkling as to what took place.
Suppose the Swede doesn't want to play. The Russians are getting pretty close.
He's been cooperative so far.
Yeah, that he has. But then Mills Freischus has always been happy to work alongside us.
Well, then, perhaps he'll do this one last thing, if approached properly. Have your people offered him a bonus? Offer him a medal. Oh, good heavens, man, offer him anything. It isn't as if we have many options at this point.
It might work. Okay, I'll get on it. By the way, Mumford.
Yes?
I'm going to ask Freischus to report directly to you. If the committee is planning an investigation, there's something we should make clear just for the record.
Oh?
Well, this Berlin raid was your idea, you know. You set it up and you sent them in. I was only trying to give you a little friendly assistance.
What?
I just want to make sure you remember that if anyone from the committee starts breathing down your neck.
Your reminder is accepted and noted. I'll let you know when I get a response from Stockholm.
Berlin. Sunday, April the 22nd. 1945.
Fournoy, this time I'm going out, and I'm not letting you stop me.
You can't, Prescott. It's madness.
If someone spots me, they'll take me for a foreign laborer. Someone press ganged into working here in one of the factories in Berlin. Perhaps my phony identity card will work.
If not...
Yeah, well, then I've had it. Maybe they won't even ask to see it. I should think everyone's pretty preoccupied with the arrival of the Russians. Must be pretty close by now. Probably on the outskirts of the city.
You're gambling on that.
Why not? It's a reasonable gamble. When I tried to move into the streets yesterday, they were so clogged with refugees fleeing from the east, they wouldn't have spared me a second glance. I should have gone.
I was going to say, you're taking one heck of a chance.
The streets should be pretty much the same today, even worse. So I'm probably safer.
Bascom, it's insane. You'll never get away with it. People will start wondering where you're from.
I'll let them wonder.
You'll be stopped, questioned, and then it'll be all up. But don't go, man.
I have to. We've been shut up in the cellar for 2 days, crawling into the coal bin whenever we heard a suspicious sound. Most of the time it was rats.
I still say, don't go. Tonight?
Yeah, we keep saying tonight, tonight. We haven't been able to leave, have we, huh? You're getting weaker. A lack of food isn't helping. In fact, it's making matters worse. Your wounds aren't healing.
I know, damn them. That's what held you up. You could have been safely away. Out of Berlin by now.
Ah, come on. Man, forget it.
No. It's the truth. You should have left me behind. Well, you had the chance, Bascom. Why didn't you listen to me?
Yeah, I couldn't leave you behind, and you know it. So stop talking about it. You're just wasting breath.
I would have managed.
Rubbish. How the hell would you have managed? You needed all my help to get you as far as this.
You could have left me here.
Yeah, it would have been senseless to think of my getting out of Berlin, wouldn't it, huh? Besides, what would you have done here? Slowly starved to death?
Doing that anyway. Both of us. Haven't eaten since Friday. Except for those stale biscuits we stole from that apartment we first went to. That was Friday.
Formway, you're getting in a bad way. I am going to have to do something about it. And the first thing is to go out there and forage for food. Maybe I'll be lucky. Find some medical supplies.
No. Never.
Listen, I have to find something. Your bandages are in a hell of a mess. There's no gauze to redress them. The antiseptic's finished as well.
So's the aspirins. Damn.
You in pain?
Yeah,
you must be.
I'll manage.
Oh, yeah, you keep saying that. The only way you'll get better is for me to do something about it. So, I'm off.
Once I've got you back in the corner.
No,
you'll be safer then. Come on.
And I'll go and find a decent meal. Maybe even be able to steal a chicken.
Yes. Stuffed with lead.
Same direction, from the east, away from the Russians. I wonder where they'll go. Continue running west and out of the south. To the Americans. Nice to think one's liked by the enemy.
Greta!
There doesn't seem much chance of finding anything to help Formoil myself with this lot around. Maybe one of the slightly quieter streets, not a main thoroughfare. Let's see. Where about am I? Corner of Markgrafenstrasse and onto Den Linden. Damn. I hadn't intended to come this far from Formway in the cellar. I'm almost in the inner city. It's a cheerful thought. Adlon Hotel should be down there. Just a jog from the Brandenburg Gate. Wonder if I have the nerve to get hold of the assistant manager there. He could put me in touch with Fagelein. Perhaps it was Fagelein who set us up. The reason why everything went wrong that night of the Chancellery. If not, if Fagelein had nothing to do with the fiasco, he'd be ripe for a brooch. He'd be scared to death by now. Worried that someone like myself might link him to treasonous acts. He might be willing to do anything. Get a doctor for Formway. Arrange an escape. Anything to keep himself clear. Or if he did betray us, going to the Adlon Hotel would be tantamount to laying one's head on the chopping block. No. Best thing is to get into a quieter street and start heading back. Damn it. I'm gonna return empty-handed. Good. A street that's not so busy. Maybe there's a restaurant with an alleyway in the back. I'll be able to check its refuse for something that isn't too old or disgusting for us to eat. Hey, what's that? A crowd of people up ahead. Yeah, perhaps I'll see what it's all about. They could be queuing for food.
Let me see, dear. What did you manage to get?
Yes. Wouldn't you let us look?
It's not much, but it's something. A nice piece of meat.
Meat? Oh, you are lucky. Oh, look at that. A whole half kilo of pork. And
as much as a quarter kilo each of pearls and rice.
Of course, they're calling them crisis rations. They're handing them out free at every point in the city.
Free? There, what did I tell you?
I didn't doubt you for a moment, dear. Let's hope there's going to be enough for you and me by the time we get to the end of this queue. I wonder why they're doing it. Makes you think, doesn't it?
It's because of the Russian breakthrough. Oh,
not a cheerful thought.
No.
Oh, I wouldn't be alarmed too much. They're giving everyone enough food to last 8 days.
8 days?
Yes. They say they felt that it was long, as it would take for General Steiner to come down from the north to repel the Russians.
I heard it was General Wenck's relief army they were waiting for. He's on his way from the west, they tell me.
Are you sure? That isn't what I heard.
All I know is I haven't been able to sleep since those Russians started firing.
Oh, I know, it's terrible. I have a little boy out there fighting.
We all have, my dear. I lost two of my boys right in the beginning. I have one left. But I haven't heard for a long time what's been happening to him. He's with General Wenck's army.
I quite understand. But my little boy is the youngest. The last, really. He's only 14.
14?
Yeah. Oh, they're calling them up at all ages now. I heard the boys from the orphanage were armed yesterday and sent to guard the barricades. And most of them are only 10 or 11 years old.
Well, I am grateful I have daughters.
How can you be so unpatriotic?
I have willingly given all my sons for the Führer. I wish I had more to give, and so should you. Then we wouldn't have these Russians hammering at us day and night.
Oh, dear. I didn't mean it like that at all.
I don't think having daughters is any better. I've heard the most awful stories from people leaving the villages up east.
Oh, yeah.
You know what some of the Russian men did?
Oh, no, dear. Do tell me.
Oh, there's a group of Hitler's elite SS guard driving down the street. They always look so handsome.
They choose them for their looks and strength, I'm told.
And you, girl, I see you're wearing the uniform of the Bund Deutscher Mädchen.
What of it?
I wonder where those soldiers are going in that car.
They've stopped by that burnt-out building down the street.
I wonder why.
Searching for someone, I imagine. The whole fits me. I would have thought the city was cleared of practically every enemy of the Third Reich by now.
There are always spies.
What would you know of that girl? You're only about 13.
We are trained to know spies when we see them.
Yeah. You hear that, young man?
Oh, yes.
You have a funny way of speaking German.
Those soldiers are entering the building.
Have you timed them? Every 30 seconds or so. The Ivans are deliberately torturing us. Oh. It's their way of telling us they're coming. But I'll tell you, I've been ducking for cover all morning. A man feels a fool when he ducks and the explosion lands 8 or 10 blocks away. They just get accustomed to judging the fall of bombs by their sound, and the Russians throw a whole new set of sounds at us.
Do you know, my dear, I heard that one can eat sorrel.
If one can get hold of it.
It's a question of making it palatable.
I wonder what those soldiers are doing in the building.
Fool, woman. You steam sorrel and douse it with vinegar. Everybody knows that.
What's that, old man?
But who can cook anyway? The radio says anyone who uses electricity for cooking will be shot. I suppose they expect us to eat everything raw.
You can always cook over a fire, Grandfather.
I'm not your grandfather, and I don't have a fire. They have a hot plate, and the government won't let me use it. But you expect me to do chop up my furniture to cook a meal?
Those soldiers certainly seem to be occupied with that building.
I hear the Russians are already approaching the suburbs around Middlesee. Isn't it wonderful, young man?
What?
Soon we'll be able to visit the front by streetcar. Or we can wait a few days and they'll be right here, right in the center of the city. Damned if I won't be pleased to see them come. Maybe we'll be able to use the electricity again.
That is defeatist talk, old man. Take care or you won't live to see any of it.
You be quiet, girl. Oh, young man. If we'd built some proper defenses, we might not have the Ivans in our laps. Have you seen the pitiful things they're doing to stop the Russians? Digging little ditches and stacking a few cars and trucks in the road.
Oh, my poor boy.
It'll break your heart. They say it will take the Russians 1 hour and 5 minutes to break through.
Oh.
1 hour to stop laughing and 5 minutes to push the barricades aside.
Oh, look. Amal has just jumped out of that building.
Good heavens.
It's not one of our uniforms, is it?
It looks as though it could be one of ours. Do you think it's a deserter?
Oh, they almost hit him there.
Not such good shots, are they?
It's the wrong color, the uniform.
Oh, one of the Russians.
Yeah, it's impossible. Oh! Oh, they got him. Oh, well done.
Ach, they were just playing with him the first time they fired. Probably to flush him into the open where they could be sure of getting him.
Well, they killed him. They're taking his body away.
What do you suppose that was all about?
Probably some deserter from the front. The idiot SS people are shooting them all over the place. If the Russians don't get you nowadays, our own ghouls...
Would you like me to summon those officers and report your words?
They're too busy. Besides, what do I care? I wouldn't mind so much if my son would come home. You're fortunate to be away from it, young man.
Why aren't you in uniform?
I saw a bunch of old Volkssturm geezers digging in a tank on my street this morning. They just dug a big hole in the pavement. The soldiers drove the tank down in it, and they covered it over with rocks and bricks until only the turret showed. You know why, young man? Because we haven't enough gasoline to run tanks, that's why. All our glorious party chiefs have been stealing the gas to drive to safety. You see any of us driving to safety?
Oh, you can't say that.
They got us into this. Now they're running out and leaving us to hold the bag.
You have a big mouth, Grandfather. It's going to get you into a lot of trouble.
I'm only speaking the truth. Isn't that right, young man? Tell her.
What?
Go on. Tell her what you heard.
You still haven't said why you aren't in uniform. You don't look injured to me.
There is no way to speak to your eldest girl. I don't know why you don't give her a good telling off. She'd listen to you, I'm sure. Probably be afraid you'd hit heaven. You see, I'm no longer capable of it, though I wouldn't mind trying.
You watch your mouth, Grandfather.
Oh, girl, that's no way to speak to someone who's older than you.
He shouldn't be talking the way he does. Have you heard him? The fetus talk all the time.
That's his affair, not yours.
And what about him?
Who?
This man standing with us. He doesn't look like an injured soldier to me. What's he doing here?
Same as us, waiting for something to eat.
Oh, the girl has a point. What are you doing here, young man? You should be in uniform on the front, fighting.
I'm a laborer at a factory. French. I must go. I can't wait. Excuse me.
I'll tell you what he is. He is a spy. He's a spy.
Nonsense, girl.
Are you sure?
Look, he's trying to get away. He's starting to run away. I'm going after him.
Hey, stop!
You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world. Best Sellers is brought to you every Monday to Friday on Springbok Radio at 9 p.m.
John Lee's dramatic novel, The 13th Hour, is adapted for radio by John Cavigia and produced
by Andre Bortman.